Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cricket Show. Another wonderful day in my neck of the woods. And I hope wherever you are indeed enjoying this fabulous weather. Just want to take the opportunity to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day. And those ladies who are acting as fathers, we also want to say happy Father's Day to you too. With me in the line are Hyacinth Christian all the way from London, England. And of course,
hello, happy
Donna.
Father's Day to you.
Yes, thank you so much. And we also have with us Donna Brown, all the way from the Bronx. Is it the Bronx or Manhattan? Wherever you are in New York. But welcome,
Brooklyn.
Welcome to the Brooklyn. And of course, we have...
Happy Father's Day to all as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You.
And we have Dennis.
Hi, Donna.
And Mertis as well.
Hi.
Mertis, why don't you say hi to all your friends and fans around the world?
Remember, we don't have merchants today, Leah.
Oh, she just came back in. Did she not?
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
No, she's not. She's gone.
Yes, yeah, she's here with me. Merchants is here with me.
You. Okay, hello, merchants.
Oh, she's quiet. Without no further ado, let's give God the praise and thanks for his presence here with us this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you so much for your helping us to make this show possible another day. We pray you'll let it continue without any interruptions whatsoever. We trust, Father, that you will continue to bless the show, make it be one to be remembered, especially this one today while we're celebrating the Father's Day. Lord, we thank you for all the help that you have given us, both financially and those who have done so morally, Lord. We pray for all the help that you have given the panelists to make them be better ones. And, of course, we hope that the show, Lord, will be going on today without any interruption. Thank you for all the help, all the mercies you have showered on us. We are blessed to have this show for 13 coming on 13 years come August the 10th. And we appreciate every moment of it. We enjoyed it so much. It's something we love. We do daily without compensation. We love it. Lord, we thank you. We hope the ones who are hearing it will appreciate it. And thank you for the help and assistance you have given over the years. All these we ask you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Anything new from you, Hyacinth, out of in your neck of the woods?
Not really. She plays American football. She's in Finland for 3 months because it's finished here. So she's doing Europe 3 months in Finland.
Oh, okay. We didn't hear you quite well, though, but are you saying your daughter is in Finland?
No. My niece's daughter, she plays American football. She's in England. But England is finished in here now in England. So now she's in Finland for 3 months. She does travel.
Oh, right.
And she's training in Europe now for 3 months.
And Donna, thank you. Thank you for that information. And you may like to tell us her name so she can hear her name being called.
Her name's Yasmin Kazoo. Yasmin.
Yasmin. Let's call her Yasmin.
Yasmin.
Thank you so much. And Donna,
Kazoo.
Donna, you have a son that is playing something somewhere. Tell us all about it, won't you? Would you?
Hello.
Yeah. Hi. Anything important you want to share with us today before we go right into the meat of things?
No. Don't have anything to share right now.
Okay. And Murchis would want to say hi to her fans and well wishers around the world before she leaves for a dinner date. Am I correct? Okay. And how about you, Dennis?
Thank you. I'd like to say hello and welcome to our listeners wherever they are in the world. This is the Cricket Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow. You can call us and join us 1-515-605-9850. Again, 1-515-605-9850. Send us an email, thecricketshow@comcast.net. Remember, get your reminder to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. And, of course, today, June the 18th, is Father's Day.
Yes, indeed.
Today, Father's Day in the United States is celebrated the third Sunday in June each year. Credit for this designation is given to Sonora Smart Dodd, according to Encyclopedia Britannica. Sonora wanted to honor her father, who raised her and her 5 siblings after their mother died in childbirth. The first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19, 1910, the month of Dodd's father's birth. So, happy Father's Day to the fathers, grandfathers, uncles, who have assumed the parenting roles, and that includes mothers, of course, sisters, whoever is holding the brush right now in the role of a father. Happy Father's Day to you all. Back to you, Leon.
Thank you. May I just reciprocate your sentiments there? Happy Father's Day to all the panelists. You know, sometimes I forget their names, but don't blame me. Blame my stars, man. Okay, traditionally we play a song in a calypso fashion, and we're going to give you a little bit of it until we come to the meat of it. We'll give you the whole song. It goes like this.
My father, Isaac Liverpool, and my mother, Edwardine Bartholomew, used to sing many songs and shanties. So often that I learned them all. A little boy in the lamp one under the stress and load of the day. Oh, he would sit, and there was I, listening to him. And he had him. I am a warrior out in the field, and I can see, and I can show, and I can tell it all about that she's a die for me. When I get to a yonder in the happy paradise, when I get to a yonder in the field. And on a Sunday morning, we'll walk to my aunt in Bethel. And when she would be making a piece of soup, and she would be singing while the piece of boiling. Oh, what sweet voices between my father and herself. While I yearn for the pizza, and she sang, how sweet the name of Jesus on dinner even here.
Until later, we'll give you the whole song. So bear with me as we introduce Ivor. Good evening to you, Ivor. Happy Father's Day. And one time you used to be mother and father, right? Come on in, Ivor, if you can talk with us.
Okay. Well, happy Father's Day. I'm not properly situated, but I'll be here. I'll be listening in until a little later.
Okay.
And wishing a great show, but I'll participate a little later.
All right. We'll be here to bring you in as soon as you're ready. Okay, Dennis, we might as well just tell the panelists today and our audience that Jatin will not be in today. He is out of town and he will not be. So we'll not have the Coach's Corner today, but we'll substitute it with some other items we have to share with the panelists. Then I think you want to go ahead.
I just want to offer our apologies to our listeners.
Yes,
at this time we normally schedule the Coach's Corner, but our coach is on an airplane at the moment and unable to join us. So we hope you'll forgive us this week. Come back next week, because we will certainly have the Coach's Corner next week. But for this week, we'll take a pass and perhaps share with you other matters that we have been sitting on for a while.
Yeah.
But, Leon, to start off, some news from the CONCACAF.
Before that, let us also tell listeners that oddly, he too will not be, he might be here to give the birthday and anniversary hour, but he would not be with us physically to participate in most of what we do afterwards. So go ahead, you just wanted to give something about the CONCACAF.
Yes, I'm sure our Caribbean listeners would be very interested to hear these. The CONCACAF Gold Cup preliminary stages were played this week. And in those matches, Suriname and Puerto Rico played. They played to a tie, and penalty kicks decided. Puerto Rico went through the preliminary round 4-3 on penalty kicks. Guyana played Grenada. Once again, there was a 1-1 tie at the end of the regulation time. And penalty kicks was awarded, and Guyana won 5-3 on penalty kicks. French Guyana and St. Martin. French Guyana scored 4 goals, St. Martin 1, so French Guyana goes through to the next round of the Gold Cup. Curaçao and St. Kitts and Nevis played to a 1-1 tie. St. Kitts went through 3-2 on penalty kicks. Martinique and St. Lucia. Martinique scored 3 goals to St. Lucia 1. So Martinique goes through. Antigua and Barbuda 0. Guadeloupe 5. That means Antigua, although they put up a fight, they just came out on the wrong end of this one. So Guadeloupe goes through. The next round of this Gold Cup will be played later on this week in the United States here somewhere. And the CONCACAF Nations League semifinal that pitted United States against Mexico, and the United States came away. This was the semifinal match. United States scored 3-0.
Yeah.
And in the second semifinal, Canada 2-0. So United States and Mexico, I'm sorry, Panama and Mexico are currently playing for the third place position. And right now Mexico is leading Panama by 1-0. And the final between Canada and the United States is scheduled to be played today at 5:30 Western Pacific time later on this afternoon. So if you are available 5:30, you can catch that then. Otherwise, the rest of the CONCACAF matches will be played later on this week. So keep your ears open, and hopefully you may be able to catch some of those matches. That's the information for you, Leon, on the CONCACAF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I omitted something which I regret doing, and I just want to apologize to my friends and well-wishers, because every week we take the opportunity to wish our brothers and sisters who are under the weather. This evening I completely omitted it, but we'll just make a pause for that, this special cause. Dear Heavenly Father, we are asking your healing touches on our dear brothers and sisters who are ailing, some of which are in this condition for a long time, Lord. We know you have done your best, and you are doing what you can to bring them back to themselves. And today we continue to ask your healing touches on them, namely Dr. Leroy Lashley and his daughter Lisa, Bobsy Nisbet and Mertris Nisbet, Connie Whitley, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, El Camino Willett, Ralston Otto, my dear brothers Wentworth and Telbert Francis, Dennis Kelman, Joseph Gunshop, Willis, Mona Daniel, Fillmore Hallpike, Earl Stevens, Jeanette Hughes, Dr. Roger Brown, and of course our dear brother Linford McKenzie, Lord. And all the others who have not expressed their concerns, Lord, we just pray for them and pray that you can continue to heal them. Bring them back to their normal selves, Lord. We've got work left for them to do. We thank you for what you've done for them. We pray you'll just continue to heal them and touch their bodies. And those who have not expressed their concerns also, touch their bodies also. Heal this nation of all the ills and wrongs that have been perpetuated, Lord, around the world as well. Thanks for everything, and pray that you'll make this world a better place to live. All these we ask in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, Dennis, we can start off with just telling the folks, well, England and England and Australia in a dogfight. The Ashes, which is a series that is played every 2 years, and the winner of the tournament gets the ashes of the stumps in an urn, right? That's why it's called the ashes, right? Of a bale that is burnt and put in an urn, and they will take that prize as their gift. So England trying to get back the ashes for Australia. Australia has not won over in England for a long time, but this match is going one way or the other. England declared on their first day 393-8, and in their second time around, they are 28-2. Australia all out for 386. Even seasons at this point, but with those two wickets that have fallen this evening, could well give a little balance back to the Aussies. So we'll wait and see. We'll discuss it a little later on. Of course, the World Cup qualifiers are very much in headlines. And West Indies are up against the USA, and as a USA citizen, whom would you back? And coming from the Caribbean, whom would you back? You got to back some place. I back both teams. West Indies batting first. We're all out in the 49th over, on the 50th over, for 297. And USA came back with a bang to score 258 for 7, giving West Indies victory by 43 runs. In the other encounter, Nepal against Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe scoring 291 for 2 in their 45th over, replying to Nepal's score of 290 for 8, which meant that Zimbabwe won the contest by some 4 overs and 5 balls. So, all in all, the standings are that Zimbabwe are on top with 2 points for the better super net run rate. West Indies are in second place, and they also are in second place, and the other two teams that have lost are in the fifth and sixth position in that group. Tomorrow, our encounter, we'll see the other group in action, which is consisting of Oman, Scotland, United Arab Emirates, Sri Lanka, and Ireland. And the first group is Zimbabwe, West Indies, Netherlands, United States, and Nepal. More are to follow. Of course, we also have some good news. Well, not so good news, because Bangladesh are up against Afghanistan. Bangladesh scored 382 and 425 for 4. Afghanistan were dismissed for 146. In the second round, second time around, 115. So Bangladesh winning that encounter by some 546. This is not cricket. This is insane. Again, Bangladesh 382 and 425. Afghanistan 146 and 115. Bangladesh winning by 546 runs. That is a massacre. Of course, we'll tell you more about the women's Ashes, which are due to begin next week. They'll play one test, 3 ODIs, 3 T20s, starting June the 22nd and will finish July the 18th. And we want to tell you too that the West Indies Cricket Board has dismissed as rubbish the tour, T20 tour, season in the Caribbean 2000 will go on. The rumor that West Indies, the ICC World Cup in the West Indies will not go along, but it has now been disclosed that everything's A-OK, and we are looking forward to that encounter. England, of course, we talked about it earlier. England are due to tour the West Indies in December. First test match begin, or first ODI. There are 3 ODIs, 5 T20s and no test matches. Oh yes, they did play test matches before. 3 ODIs starting the 3rd of December. The second will be on the 6th. The third will be on the 9th. And the 5 T20s begin the 12th of December, 14th of December, 16th, 19th and 21st of December. Of course, we'll go into this in more detail. And India, big news that India are due to tour the Caribbean and the Americas. They'll be right in the neck of the woods of Virgin. They'll be playing 2 test matches, 3 ODIs, and 5 T20s, July the 12th to the 13th of August. And those final two matches, August the 12th, West Indies played a 4th T20 at the Central Broad Regional Park over there in Lauderhill. beautiful city of Lauderhill, Conto, our good friend Virgil. And then on the 13th, the next day, they'll play again in India again, the 50-20 at the same venue. We have some news on the T20 blast over in England. And we have news that there is a training camp that the West Indies ladies are to undergo. And they have named the squad, the 18-man squad. Time permitting, we'll give you all the details. And of course, Dennis, anything from your end that I missed out? Of course, you always have news coming out of the ICC. They seem to be filled with reporters all over the world, so they give you bits and pieces. Anything new from you, Dennis?
Well, I have the ICC Player of the Month of May was nominated. Mm-hmm. And I know they've been nominated, and I know that they have been voted on, although I can't give you the vote at this moment, but I can tell you the players who were nominated in the male section was Babar Azam of Pakistan. He was the captain of the team-winning series against New Zealand. They won the series 4-1. He had a half century, and he had a century of 107 runs. It's his 18th ODI century. And the second nominee in the male category was Najmul Hossain Shanto of Bangladesh. He 44 runs in one innings. He had a century in another, 35 runs and one wicket in a five-run victory. And the third nominee, player of the month of May, male, there's Harry Tecto of Ireland, who scored 140 runs, a century, first ODI against Bangladesh, and also 45 runs in the third ODI. In the female category, Leon, Chamara Attapattu of Sri Lanka, she had a half century of 60 runs in one match. She scored a century, 103 in a second match, and ended up with a series average of 34.33. And second nominee in the female category was Ashita Madavi of Sri Lanka. Scored 45 not out in one match, 45 runs in the T20, 29 not out in the second T20, 51 not out in the third T20. And the third female was Tipacha Puttawal of Thailand. She was the leading wicket taker in the took 11 wickets at an average of 1.4. You had four wickets for three runs, a three wicket for three runs, and a three wickets for two runs, respectively. Those were the nominees, Leon. And I say, perhaps before the show is over, I'm hoping that I can tell you who the final winners of those who were nominated are. And
let's say welcome, Virgil, and wish him a happy Father's Day. Good evening to you, Virgil. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, good evening to you, Mr. Francis. Good evening to all the panelists, and good evening to all the listeners all over the world, and good evening to all the fathers, and very, very, very happy Father's Day to each and every one of you.
Thank you, Virgil.
Well, Dennis, I think we could begin by talking a little bit, because this evening we won't have Dating, but we'll fill the time up with discussion by the panelists.
Yes.
Would like to talk, begin with the match England versus Australia. I'm sure Virgil had something to say. I don't know if he thought the whole match or he has a result. Anything you want to bring up before we start? England won the toss and decided to bat. And they declared at the first day on 393 for 8. Was it a good decision, Virgin, on the first day? 393
for 8?
Virgin?
Virgin may have muted himself.
No, not on the end.
on that, this, you know, two things. I saw two things in this match that I thought were perhaps a little, if I might, for want of a better word, I call it silly. First of all, that declaration by Stokes on the first day, he declared his innings closed at with what, two wickets in hand, having scored 300 and I think it was 93 runs. He declared his innings closed with about maybe 45 minutes of play remaining. I thought that he should have continued his innings, put a few more runs on the board, and then, you know, get Australia on the following morning. But the decision he made turned out in the end, I suppose, to be a draw in terms of the fact that Australia did not take advantage of that situation. Or, as it turned out, maybe the English bowlers were able to rectify the situation. The other item that I thought was worthy of commentary was the fact that two of England's batters, I mean, Bairstow, seemingly on his way to what I would consider a century, had a rush of blood because he went chasing down the wicket after a delivery, which of course he completely missed off Lyon, and was stumped by yards. And we had Moin Ali, he came in right after Bairstow and, you know, had a humongous six. And then suddenly he just got a rush of blood too and did exactly the same thing that Bairstow did at a time when England was in need. But having said all that now, perhaps these decisions were engineered by the skipper sending word for them to try and put some quick runs on the board, because how else could, you know, you explain why they made the decisions they made, right? Because it seems so very, very, very silly. But nonetheless, I'm attempting to second guess perhaps instructions that may have come from the skipper. But at the time, to me, it looked like it was a rash decision and one that was reminiscent of T20 cricket and not Test cricket. So I criticize them for it, but maybe that was a decision that was sent to the players to get on with it because he wanted to declare. And the final point here, Leon, is that I'm not sure if you saw the injury to Moin Ali's finger.
Yes.
That was quite, I mean, his spinning finger, and I say spinning finger because it as it is in cricket parlance. His spinning finger was completely completely rubbed right off the flesh. The skin was gone completely, and you can see the redness below the skin. And that means that he will not be in a position to bowl, at least unless he's going to turn to bowling leg breaks. That's about the only thing, because I know he's generally an off-break bowler. But maybe leg break won't require. But then again, he would have to have a Band-Aid on his spinning finger, and I'm not sure that he would be allowed to bowl with a Band-Aid on that finger. But because he has an injury, which is obvious, it may well be that they will give him the benefit of the doubt because he's not asking for it for other than, medical reasons. So we'll see. The match tomorrow, when it continues, rain came this afternoon and took away maybe a couple of hours worth of playing time. And we will see what happens tomorrow when they come back. So the match is poised, and it should be interesting to see what happened because England have lost two quick wickets this evening, and Australia could well be in the driving seat at this point, Liam.
So
okay.
We will see tomorrow when play resumes. Back to you.
Yes. No, but one thing we have to also bear in mind that that Moin, he was fined for applying treatment to that same injured finger without asking the umpire's position. Yes,
I think that was. But
yes,
Leon,
yes.
When we saw the extent of his injuries, or whatever we call it, it was so blatantly obvious that he was in need of medical attention that I'm somewhat surprised that the position, the bureaucrats then, dare I call them that, should see fit to levy a fine if that is the case. I did not hear or see that that had occurred.
It's not because he applied the treatment, you know. He should have asked the umpire's permission. Umpire's permission had to be granted.
Well, yeah, I accept that, Leon, but I think under the circumstances, because it was painfully obvious that something very, very unusual had happened, I think that the umpire could have...
And it's rules and they must conform with...
You know, they were a little over... Heavy-handed, I think, is perhaps the word to use there, Leon.
So I agree with you with the decision. I think it was premature. And England were lucky. But on the right side of Stokes, he really put some pressure on the Aussies, man. I saw Bull and, you know, he was bounced out. And he could not do anything but just play the ball casually into the guy there, Slimina, or forward short leg. And, you know, with no pressure, you're going to go hard. You just tap it. He couldn't do anything. He was pinned up. But it's a good contest. And there's another point I want to make. The English have this term they call the bass ball cricket. You ever heard of it?
Bass ball cricket.
So when you see Bear Stone them run down the wicket, and you see Moin Ali lift his head, because they don't want to be tied down or anything of that sort. They want to play bright cricket, and that must be a part of the basketball cricket. That they want to make score heavily. They score in excess of over four for over throughout the game. And when Australia started, they were scoring less than two for over, or sometimes going about two. So they want to, this basketball cricket, to continue. And it seems as if it's working. Because at one time, it looks as if Australia is going to be surpassing the total. And all of a sudden, in a hurry, he saw some wickets fall. And he set a field there. I believe a field like that I would have set. They were tied down. They were tied down. And when Kaswaja, he was was bold, right?
Yes.
The field setting had curved his onside play, and they set an offside trap for him, and he couldn't get the ball away. And he was trying to work it down the between slips and gully, and he was bold neck and crop. So, and if had England not dropped those couple chances, the stumping by Bairstow or Green was an easy stumping. And then a catch that was grasped that went between him and Joe Root would have been easy to catch. And of course, the wicket that could have taken had not the opener, bowler no ball. So these are some things that they had to tighten up. But they are believing what this guy wants them to do, to play this basketball. It must be, you know, bright. You must score fast. You must set some aggressive field. You must bowl to your field and take your catches. But it doesn't always work out. And sometimes, one time you may just fail. But up to now, they are doing very well, and they keep doing it because they see some success.
Leon, Leon, what did you think of that catch that was taken?
Oh, yes.
In
well,
the,
that is...
similar to the... to the
Yeah, okay. Let me just give you my opinion. I felt the ball had touched the ground, you know. It looked to me that if the ball was in his hand and he rolled over and touched the ground. But the ruling, they say that if he goes in his center of his hand and parts of the ball go through his fingers and touch the ground, is an out. He's dismissed. But if he were to roll it over, but it looked to me like the ball rolled over and touched the ground, but they said otherwise. So, Ivor, you have a take on it? Can you?
I would say the catch completed before he got his fingers under the ball, and in the umpire's opinion, even in the review, they felt he had control of it. Anything that happened afterwards, catch completed.
Yes.
So that was it. That was an easier decision than the Gill decision. So I think they got it right.
I was going to say, I thought it was very similar to Gill's decision. And, of course, they did do the DRS. And obviously, I have to accept the DRS review. But, you know, for the naked eye, from my perspective, it looked like he did not have full control of the ball before it hit the ground, in the process of taking the catch. But I respect the DRS, and so I'll have to accept it. But it's another one of those catches that would have been talked about for a long time if the DRS was not involved in the decision-making. Back to you, Leon.
As you were saying, Ivor.
Yeah, well, like I said, this guy, he's making himself a good specialist. Gully fielder. So
Green
as if well.
Green.
That's enough. He's making use of the DRS, and to show well, there's a purpose for it. Once ago, we used to say the decision is final. Now we have something to really get it on the slowest motion. And like Dennis just said, we just have to go ahead and accept it, because if they can slow it down from all different angles and still getting it wrong, then something is wrong. So I have to go along and say, on both occasions, they got it right. Other than that, anything other than getting it right, that means they're cheating. Now, in terms of the match itself, again, if you'll permit me, England and the coach from New Zealand already said they're looking for two decisions when they're playing test matches. They either win it or they lose it. And with rain in the forecast, I read, something that Dennis wrote there, having heard him again this afternoon. I'm going to go along and agree with England, giving themselves a fair chance of winning this test match by making a huge amount of runs on the first day. Normally, you make 300 runs in the day from 90 overs. You're pretty much satisfied. Having scored just short of 400 runs, I do not see anything wrong with the decision, because they were trying to fly out one or two wickets in the dying moments of the day. So I believe the decision was based on rain being in the forecast. Australia is no West Indies. It's no Zimbabwe. It's no Ireland. They know they're coming up against a tough opposition, and they're trying to give themselves every opportunity to win the match. I don't think they want to lose the match, but right now they're giving themselves an opportunity to win the match. They could very well lose the match, but it would not be because they declared. They had enough runs to declare, because I'm saying this, they could have batted up until lunch and still reached 300 393. It would have taken them normally up until an hour or so after the second day's play to get to the 393, if not up until lunch. And people would have said, okay, that's a good score. 393, you can declare now an hour before lunch. So because they made the runs quickly, it gave them enough time to try to get two wickets. Unfortunately for England, they didn't get any wickets. But early the next morning, they made some inroads. And again, like I said, this is not the first inning match. Australia did well to get to 386, but it still left England with a chance to say, even Stevenie, come down to the second inning, who played the best? And Australia, they have to bat last on a fifth-day match. But, I mean, you guys noted already that Moyne, the spinner short, because normally the spinners are the ones that wreak havoc on a day five pitch.
Yes.
So, to me, it makes leadership comes to the fore. It makes captaincy comes to the fore. And I do believe that you might very well get a result in this match, barring rain. And we have to give credit to England for not trying to pete out this to a draw. Most teams are going on bat for 600 runs. I'm telling you, they're batting to the second day and try to say, well, I'm going to keep you in the field for a long time, have you with some weary legs, and maybe by tea time we score 600 runs and try to see if we can give you a 2-1. I'm not going to blame Stokes. That's my take, first up.
Mm-hmm. It shows that his decision paid off. I was not in favor of it, I tell you to be honest. I thought it was not a lot of wickets to lose. Mm-hmm. I just thought it wasn't a lot of wickets to lose, too. And there was not so much time to do it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Leon, as I said, I believe at the time of the decision, I thought it was the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
But on reflection, it is quite possible that Stokes had sent out the message to go for it because he wanted quick runs. So those two stumpings may be excusable.
Yes, as a result
but
of that,
these guys, having played T20 cricket, should have had a better way of getting those runs than to charge a spin bowler such as Lyon the way they did. And my thought further is that had England continued to score another 100 and maybe 50 runs, it is quite likely that Australia could have been on the edge of big problems on looking at what eventually transpired. But we'll never know. This is the game we love, and I suppose, we don't always get it right when we look at it from the benefit of our armchairs. Back to you, Leon.
Yes, indeed. I wonder if Virgil has anything to add. Do you, Virgil? Seems as if he's not with us at all, but nevertheless. So anything else that you want to add? I don't see anything else that I can bring. I think we're going to get a result.
Let me think about what you said, what Dennis just said here. I cannot fault based on, because I know this is the instruction from the onset that they have to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
With based on 78, they know a declaration was around. These have to be talked in the dressing room. He needed a further 2,200, right? He was on 70. I would not fault him the way he out. This is me now. Based on what Stokes has said and the coach has said, if he would have gone out in a soft dismissal, poking around, I would say he's not following instruction. So he needed to get those 22 runs. I do not think he would have declared, left him high and dry on 80 or 90. So the instruction was to go, be aggressive, get those 22 runs.
Yeah.
Perhaps he would have gone over the 400, of course. He was declared on the first day with him in the 90s. So by him being out there, I'm not going to criticize his out going after the ball. Me personally, I don't like nobody running down a wicket with a ball that's coming to them, passing them to go, pass the stump to go to the wicketkeeper to get out. Because why are you going after the ball that's coming to you? That you're going so far to miss it that you're going to get out stumped. To me, those are ugly stumping. But playing an aggressive shot in those circumstances, I am not going to fault him.
Leon, can I just interrupt you for a second? I'm not sure what the technical issue is, but Virgil apparently is having problems getting through to us. I'm not sure what.
But he's on right now. He's on.
No, he may be. I think maybe we should make another effort to bring him back in, because he's not getting through at the moment. He sent the message. So while you do that, I will just say to I don't disagree entirely with what you said, Ivor. I just feel at the time that I didn't have the benefit of knowing what the skipper had sent message to Bairstow and Ali. And in hindsight, it is quite possible that they were batting to instruct, according to the skipper's request. So,
can I hold just to see if we have Virgil? Virgil, are we on?
Okay. Dennis, thank you very much. I really want to put in my 75 cents with this thing with England and Australia. No, Ivor, I'm going to different with you. Because
okay.
You stated that the guys score a lot of runs in the first day, and normally it'll take you until the next day to get that amount of runs. So that's why I think they should have never declared. I mean, pile on more runs. Because if you can make 600 runs in the same amount of time, it'll be better for England. Because you're way ahead. Even though Australia make 500 runs, you're still 100 runs ahead. Because if it take 2 days, a day and a half to make the normally it'll take a day and 3/4 to make that run, and then do it in a day and a half, and you would have satisfied that run in a day and 3/4, and you do it in a day and a half. I would have pushed it because already ahead. I would have pushed it and get even 500, 600 runs. Better, because you're doing it in less than 2 days' time.
You
then
forget
you
the one point,
have
Virgil. Let me interject, Virgil. You forget the one point. Rain was always in the forecast, and that's taken away over. Remember, you guys calculate overs into runs into time. So that's the reason why I said that. Because of they're going to be losing overs because of the weather. They made that decision. That's what I predicted. I was just putting on my leadership captain hat to say, well, this could be the only reason. And so far, it's playing out that the match is still poised for victory. And that declaration was based on that they're going to lose overs. That's why I said that.
Okay, let me ask something.
Okay.
Did Australia out?
Yes.
Yeah. And they make how much? I didn't get to see the last part of it. They made how much?
386. They collapsed this morning. 386.
Okay. Yes.
They lose 5 wickets this morning. They were overnight 5, right? And they lost the 5 wickets.
And we have 2 more days to go, right?
3 days.
3 more days.
The second day. Yeah.
No. 2 days. 3 more days to go?
The second day.
Days gone. 2 more days to go.
2 more days, man. 2 more days.
2 more days to go.
Yeah, 2 more days.
Oh, yes, because, yeah, today's day. Today.
Yeah. So,
and 2 more days to go.
So, that's the reason why I'm saying that. With the rain in the forecast.
It's going to be a beautiful finish.
I would think
it's
going to
be a beautiful finish to the end.
That first, the declaration, too many test matches draw because the team that is batting are playing for a draw up front, when they should be trying to play for a win. If Stokes and those guys would have gone on to play for 600 runs, why do you think Australia would have been just trying to bat until the counts come home, not to lose the match? But Australia batted to win the match also. You have to understand that they're playing against Australia. If this was Zimbabwe, England would have gone and have batted again and tried to give them 2-1. I believe so. But you're playing against the world champion. This is the world test champion you're playing against. Never mind you're playing in England. Okay, so let's give Joe Root some credit. No, we're not giving him some credit.
Yes.
So still
yes.
Going on to make 100. And Bairstow, because
yeah.
Crawley, who I expect to make some runs, they just didn't come through either. So we're depending on the experience of Joe Root. No, you have to remember.
They expect Harry Brook. I want you guys to comment on the Harry Brook out. You saw the Harry Brook out? How he's dismissed? Anybody saw it?
Are you talking about the catch we're discussing?
No. The way Harry Brook was out was dismissed. Nobody said
he was bowled by Lance. That's it, isn't it?
He was bowled, but how he was bowled is kind of, you know, careless on his part, I believe. The ball hit a part of his body, went up in the air for almost eternity. And he never even tried to safeguard his stumps by putting his bat or pad, not his bat, but his pad, to prevent it from going into his stumps. The ball went up in the air, spun up in the air, and come right back down and hit his stumps. And
but
he
was... Wait, wasn't it? Sometimes that's really non-spec supposed to be...
But you should be aware. That's what, one of the things, when a ball hits you and you don't know yours, you guard your stumps. So,
Mr. Fawcett, you're going to ask you one question.
Yes.
Tell me how much time you see that happening, a man trying to guard and stuff. Because you know, think about that at the same time, you know. Because you don't know where the ball gone, but you don't think the ball going up in the air around
the
stump.
Right. That's what happened. You know?
That would have to be an instant, I mean.
That's a lesson for the youngster to learn, right?
Yeah.
You have to put yourself in a position to see where the ball is. You are in your crease. The ball is behind your back, so to speak. And he probably felt the ball had gone to the wicketkeeper or something. Never even look back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leon, two things. Let's see if Donna has any...
Oh, yes, Donna.
You know,
Donna.
And,
but I mean, Donna.
Donna?
Donna, are you hearing us?
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
At first,
I did not agree with England with the declaration, but then afterwards, I was able to...
Yeah, you're like me. You're like me.
exactly what England was trying to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
and
I was so surprised when Australia, four of their wickets went down this morning for 14 runs.
And Yeah. And
yeah.
Five wickets for...
Yeah, they had a big collapse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think the pressure was too much for them, I think. The field placing at one time, I think it's about one player on the offside, the onside for the left-hander. And they were there targeting the outside, and he was couldn't get the ball away. And he tried a whole angle, and he tried the wrong one. One was on his stump. Trying to work it past lips. And he was late. He yoked himself. So, but you have to give him credit for that one. I was just going to say, you have to give Khawaja credit for that 141, man. That was a stubborn knock. He was resisting as much as he can.
I have a question for maybe Hyacinth can tell us what the forecast is for the next couple of days. If we're likely to have continuous rain or whether it's going to clear up as she's closer than we are. Hyacinth?
Well, you know, with this English weather, it's so changeable. But I think rain is forecast. I think they're in Birmingham.
Yeah,
up that way. In London, we're not too bad, but they're having rain.
Tomorrow?
On their way, the intermittent rain. It's going to be,
for
you know,
the next 2 days.
Yeah, for the next few days, it's sort of on and off.
Oh.
It probably won't be long, but you know, it's going to be stop and start.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far is this from London? Birmingham from London.
Isn't about 100 miles.
Yeah, it's a bit further on than that. Yeah, Leicester comes first. Yeah,
is it north or south?
Compared to you, it's no distance, but to us, two or three hours away.
2 or 3 hours away.
Yeah, and then we'd say it's a long way away. It's about 2 or 3 hours away.
Mm.
It's north of London.
North, going Midlands. Midlands.
Is the Midlands?
North, going north from London.
Yeah.
Going up towards Scotland and Derby.
Who will? They're further north.
We say
Midlands. It's in the Midlands.
Well, the weather forecast that I've heard that they're gonna have rain until Friday.
Yeah, that's rainy. It's gonna be rain.
That's
that brings a different picture to the whole scenario.
Yeah.
That's what I said. These guys study weather. They study things. So I know English. Those guys are not foolish. They're not gonna declare on the first day at that. When they already said we are playing to either win or lose a match. We're not playing to draw a match. We are not playing to make a 600 run, and next thing the West, they rain out. So I followed it based on what the captain mindset is: aggressive cricket. So
fast ball. That's the new term. Fast ball. They call it.
Mm-hmm. I said already. I would have been mad if he declared with base two on 78. I would have given him 2 overs to make the 22-1. But after he got out, I said okay. I pretty much understood it. The only thing I said, 400, a lot more than 293.
Oh, we are too. Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis. Let's see if we can hear from Audrey. He said he wanted to come in around this time. So
yes, you know, one of the other things that is very noticeable, Ivor, is the crowd size. We've always thought that it takes India and Pakistan to bring out the crowds, but certainly England and Australia can rival
the
that
Ashes.
Crowd, because
the Ashes
they
is
were...
big. The Ashes is big, and then you're playing against the World Championship. The world champion.
Mm-hmm.
So it means something. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was definitely quite a size and quite a crowd and very enthusiastic, very reminiscent of the sort of thing we see when India and Pakistan get together. Not as noisy, but certainly very enthusiastic crowd. And it really, at times, one tend to think that maybe Test cricket is having a sort of a hiatus. We're thinking that it's on the way out, but seeing that type of support there and the type of support when when Pakistan and India plays makes you wonder if what is needed really now is just something to spice it up, for want of a better term, something to spice up the game, such as, maybe what England's attempting to do now. We want to win rather than we want to draw. And so that might well mean a great deal for Test cricket. Virgil,
do
you have anything on that?
No, it was a kind of shocker to hear you say that, because I'm always I'd love to see my Test cricket. I know you get excited Test cricket only when West Indies play or something like that, get done. But when there's other champion team play that really want to play Test match and give you. Because you see the class of the batman, and it's nice to see when the guys plead and then end up and make 100, man. That's what you call classical batting. Not just go out and do the little entertainment, boom, 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 6-4, 6-4, and then out and think you're a champion. That's to show you the real technique of cricket. And that's where you need to see the entertainment too, with the 2020. But to say, because that's making a lot of money, but that doesn't turn you into a good batman. That turns you into, as we call, a woofer, But, I love to see my Test cricket, especially the champion game I played and this one coming up, this one playing right now. I enjoy that.
Okay, folks, we have to pause for a cause, because Audley isn't able to do the birthday and anniversary of the Walter Henry Burton. But we're going to continue with it, and we're going to start off with a little song, and then ask you guys to come on in and give us your tips. Oh, no.
I'm
not going to play that one.
Song,
No. I'm hoping to get the right one. Okay, I'm going to play this one, the one that we played a little earlier on, until we get to the one, until we begin with this. Today's Father's Day.
My father, Isaac Liverpool, and my mother, Edwardine Bartholomew.
Send our greetings to all the panelists, the fathers that are with us, and those who can hear us, and those who wish to say Happy Father's Day to all. I just want to take the opportunity to say on behalf of the Cricket Show, we want to offer our best wishes to all the fathers, the mothers who acted as fathers, and those who do so otherwise. May Lord, we pray for them this evening, so, and we wish them well. We are going to take a little time out to celebrate them this evening. So we're going to start off with Virgil. Virgil, your dad, is he alive or is he not with us?
No, my father passed away like maybe 20 something years ago. Yeah. So, but my mom passed away. I don't remember how much years ago. But as a single parent, I always have to wish my mom every time Father's Day comes. I wish her Happy Father's Day because she was playing the role of mother and father at the same time. I'd like to wish my brother Michael a Happy Father's Day. And on the 15th of this month, June, a happy belated birthday to Candace Cochran, who's in Antigua. I hope she's listening, because I tell her to listen, so I'll give her birthday greeting. And I'm going back to another mother and father again, Vedis Harris, up there in Willikie. She celebrates her birthday on the 15th also. I'd like to say happy birthday, and I wish you all the best, and I hope you're listening. I wish you all the best, and many more to come. And another mother and father again, Roni Richards in Green Bay, I can't remember what's in Antigua again.
Cookson?
I remember when I finished, but Roni Richards in Grace Farm, I just want to wish her a happy, she celebrated her birthday also on the 15th of this month. So I want to wish you a very, very, very happy birthday, because most of these mothers have been father and mother at the same time. So I just want to wish you all the best, and many, many more birthdays to come. Thank you very much.
Indeed. Okay. Donna, how about you? You got your dad is alive, your mother, father, your
yes,
brother.
Yes, I would like to extend Father's Day greetings to my dad, Franklin A. Brown, MBE over there in Nevis, on this Father's Day. Hope that he is having a nice day. I would also like to extend to my brothers, Ivor, Roger, Ordell, Gerald, and Virgil. Those are my brothers. I also have Sydney, brother from another mother. Sydney, I would also like to extend to all my friends who are fathers, my uncles, all over the world. I have some in England, I have some in Nevis, I have some here in the U.S. that are celebrating Father's Day today.
All right.
And I would also like to say happy birthday greetings to my sister Vita. She turned 60 on Friday. And my sister Rennie, she has an anniversary on Saturday. So those are my celebrants for this
all
week.
All right. We celebrate with you.
Okay.
Iva, you want to follow suit? I pick up prayer.
Yes, of course. Daddy B, he leads the way. He will be 95 this year,
wow.
September 15th.
Wow.
So hopefully it's not his last Father's Day. So, Daddy B, happy Father's Day to you. And, of course, to all of the other fathers, heavenly birthday, Father's Day to my dad, who would have passed on. So, to all of us here on the panel, we just want to extend happy Father's Day. I don't know. We always make it easy on the mothers because we know we're going to get a tie or some socks. So we always make it easy. So we want to say thank you nonetheless. So I think that's it for me. And everybody who's having birthday in the month of June,
yes.
I'm going to just... Awesome. Happy Father's Day to all, and happy birthday to all. Those who are having anniversaries, like Sister Winnie, and of course, Gita, you know, cancer, of course, having her 60th birthday. Welcome to the fold, Gita, into the 60s. He's over the Nevis, just returning from the UK. So, happy birthday, and of course, do enjoy the whole month.
Amen.
So, that's it for me.
What about you, Dennis? Dennis, you have a
yes,
post.
It, it's my son Darren's birthday today, and so it's a double celebration for the family, I guess. He's a dad, and it's his birthday, and of course yesterday was his son's birthday, my grandson's birthday, so my son. Grandson birthday yesterday and my son's birthday today and it's Father's Day today, so we have a lot of celebrating to do in the Heath household. I want to wish everybody happy Father's Day and to all my fellow panelists and colleagues and friends who are within earshot, wish them all a pleasant and happy day for today, Father's Day, and anniversary birthdays again. Wish them all well. Back to you, Liam.
Yes, indeed. I just wanted to take the opportunity again to wish all the fathers and the ladies who are acting as fathers happy birthday, you know, happy Father's Day on behalf of the Cricket Show. And my personal friend, there are many, Dr. Leroy Lashley over there in Miami, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Wentworth and Telbert Francis, my brothers. Fillmore Hall-like, we never forget him. Can't remember everybody, but everybody whom I know, I want to just say happy birthday to all of you and wish you well. I hope that all will be well in your neck of the woods as well. And trust that God will just spare your life to celebrate many more years of joy, happiness, and good health. Me. Going to open the line for anyone who wants to call from abroad. I don't know if Hyacinth, you want to say happy birthday to some of your relatives and friends. Not birthday,
yeah,
but happy Father's Day or birthday, as the case may be as well.
Yes, sir. Happy Father's Day to my brother. I've got one brother. And of course, to his family, Daryl, and that's his son. And happy Father's Day to my son, Colin, and to David, my husband, and to all my nephews, wherever they are, although they have gotten the children, but happy Father's Day to them anyway. And yes, it was my niece's birthday on the 13th, in the state last week. And just happy Father's Day to all fathers, and as you say, to mothers who take part as fathers, and all the siblings who do the role. So everyone who takes care of each other, happy Father's Day to each and everyone. Just offer love to everyone. That's all we can do. So let's just thank God for this day and do the best we can.
So yes, indeed.
Can
you do me a favor?
Yes,
since I'm calling from Florida, can you do me a favor with an English accent? Just say a happy birthday to Vadis Harris, Rony Richards, and Daisy Cochran for me, please.
Happy birthday to Dalis, Condaisy, and what?
Vadis Harris.
Bailey's Harris.
Vadis Harris. Yeah.
Oh, Vadis Harris. Condaisy.
Cochran.
Condaisy Cochran.
And Rony Richards. All in the beautiful island of Antigua.
Oh, all from that wonderful, wonderful island of Antigua. Happy birthday to you all. Wish you many, many more.
Mm-hmm. I want to just take time out to wish your brother, who is my cousin and a personal friend of mine from youth. I shall never, ever forget Denfield Macho. He's the father.
Yes.
Of
Darryl.
Minister of Sports Darryl, and he is my father, but he spent many, many Thanksgiving with me when I was in Miami. For 15 consecutive weeks, years, he has come to shop, and we will play dominoes.
He only comes for the lights.
Play dominoes, eat the food that we ate in Antigua. We had our little time of worship and celebration, and it was really, really, really enjoyable. Happy Father's Day, Denfield. Love you, my brother.
I spoke to him 2 days ago.
My blood brother, but he is my cousin, and a cousin I shall never, ever forget. Denfield Matthew over the Quickside. Yes, indeed. And
I spoke to him 2 days ago.
And for all the ones who we have tried to celebrate, I'm going to play this song. I hope it comes up. Luther Vandross like to sing this song.
Need some volume on that, Leon. Not coming through. Leon?
We are not hearing the song.
Leon, it's not coming through.
Not coming through?
No.
We're low.
Low, very low. It's there, but it's low. Thank you, that's it.
That's really better.
Yeah.
He's gone again.
My father, Isaac Liverpool, and my mother, Edwardine Bartholomew.
You've lost that one too.
So often that I let them all. A little more, a little lamb, keep it burning. A little more, a little lamb, I pray. A little more, a little lamb, keep it burning. Keep it burning till the break of day. When you walk home from the garden, with all its peace,
some of the great...
Yes, sir.
Mr. Brown, come on in. Long to hear your wonderful
okay.
voice.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I
a little louder. Can hardly hear you.
Oh, okay. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, I'm hearing you quite well, Dennis. He's coming to
okay, great.
Coming over loud here, Leon.
Oh, I don't
okay.
know.
Okay.
Okay,
you
go
hear
ahead.
Me better now?
See, you can
okay.
tune it up a little louder then.
So today
very
is Father's Day, and my father is in Nevis, and I would sincerely like to wish him a very, very happy Father's Day, along with all the other fathers on this listening station. I also want to convey my best wishes to my sister Vita on her 60th birthday coming up this week. And also I think my sister Renee, she's having an anniversary this week also. So without any further ado, I wish them
we
all the best.
We wanted you to say your father's name. I don't think you said it, did you? You said his name.
No, no, not yet, not yet.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's one of the Browns in Nevis. Anyway,
yes.
It's Franklin Brown,
okay.
you know, former headmaster and now MBE. So I think only the English listeners would know what that means, a member
yes,
of the British
yes,
Empire.
A member of the British Empire.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so he has been ordained with that, and he's very proud of it. So
yes.
Happy Father's Day to him if he's listening. I can't get him on the phone normally because
yes.
he has become somewhat of a hermit. But my thoughts and prayers are always with him.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Take it away.
Yes, indeed. We just want to just extend our Father's Day wishes to him as well. He has been somewhat related to the show as well. He was here in the earlys when he was up and running. And we just want to wish you well. Oh, God will just fill your life to continue to enjoy your days until he's ready to take you home to be in glory with him.
Yes, and he...
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, just one more thing. He'll be making 95 in September.
Ooh. Oh, how you wish, Dennis. Oh, how you wish you're going to be reaching there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm hoping to make that trip and be there
yes.
with him. As he
thank you. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for coming.
Thank
out.
You. Happy Father's Day to you too, Brother Roger. Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. I had a wonderful day so far. It started in the church, of course. So
okay.
those church goers and the fathers
indeed.
should do likewise, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody want to share that birthday? I mean, Father's Day with Dr. MBE Franklin Brown over there in Nevis. He has been here with us. He has been with us many, many times. And we appreciate the contribution that he has made over the years. And we wish him well. Anybody else? Anybody else want to say anything before we...
I can just say happy Father's Day to Mr. Brown. And
yes.
that's his son there on the phone. Happy Father's Day to you also.
Yes, yes.
I just wish you guys all the best and many more to come.
Indeed. Thank you, thank you.
So, okay, thank you, guys. Thank you, Roger. Be sure to call
okay.
us as often as you can, time permitting. I know you're a busy man.
Yeah.
Okay, sir.
Yes,
thanks
yes,
a lot.
Normally, I'm listening to 60 minutes at this time.
Okay.
But I shall make it
a point of your duty to call in from time to time. We
yes,
appreciate
it. I shall do that.
Thanks for all you have done for
I'll
the show as well, too. Thank you so much.
I'll put the onus on my brother.
Okay.
Okay.
Love
me, take me. mother was teacher.
Yeah. Christ, and he said his prayer. He must it. Even though he sang a very long prayer, he gave God's answer today in this manner. I must have the Savior with me, for I care not to walk alone. I must have his presence near me, and his arms around me throw. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow still.
Oh, he suffered from high blood pressure. When the North Sea took him, the giddiness, he never gave up. He even gave God thanks for the illness, singing all the time. Rest and assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory mine. Yeah, of salvation, purchased of love, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
But my mother was a Catholic, and when he sang his Baptist hymns and sang his, she would counter him with a Catholic hymn. And so she was trying to shut him up. But she sang with a beautiful and sweet voice. And she sang, oh, come to the throne of grace. Oh, come to the heart most pure. To marry your hope of life. If salvation is sure. Oh, Lady of Fatima Hill, Immaculate Mother of Grace, oh, pray for us, help us today, the hope of the human race.
And here's where we're going to leave you, folks. Happy, happy Father's Day. If we forget your name, it's not because we meant to do so. It's because we have forgotten.
Okay, ma'am, did I ever forget one name, ma'am?
Yes, sure. Put it in, man. We got time.
Okay, but turn it down a little because we have the man himself on air with us, Mr. Renford Doherty.
Oh, happy, happy Father's Day, sir. I bow to you. I salute you. Come on in, sir.
Very, 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 very good evening, sir, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers on the panel. Of course, I am always very delighted, very humbled to be able to share with you guys.
Indeed.
Hello?
Yes, we're hearing.
Mm-hmm. We're hearing
continue,
you, and
continue. Go ahead. Yes, we have you.
Let me give honor to my brother, Ivor, who is always so gracious to give me an opportunity to address you guys from here in beautiful island of Nevis. Of course, 2020 Vision is ever so grateful and so privileged to be a part of your show beaming all across the Eastern Caribbean. And in a couple of weeks, we will be bringing to you, I'm sure Ivor will keep your praise of, I'm sure you guys are aware of the game, CPL game that will be in the Federation very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be more than happy to have you engage our own podcast of 2020 Vision to be a part of your panel to keep you up to date with everything that's going on. So Ivor, I will be forwarding you Curtis Morton's contact so you can liaise with him in the upcoming weeks and months.
Okay.
That's what's going on in the Federation with sports.
Okay.
Okay. And let me again congratulate all of you guys for doing a wonderful job on the cricket show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I can't remember all the names, but I don't know all
the names. I want you to remember one name. Dr. Ren, I just want you to remember one name, Hyacinth Christian, all the way from London, England. So say a special hello to her for me.
Who is that?
Dr. Hyacinth Christian. I call her doctor. She's special.
Oh, Dr. Christian.
No doctor.
No doctor.
Well, no,
just
Hyacinth. Just Hyacinth.
Yeah, I just Hyacinth.
I have to follow the lead of Leon. You know, he's the captain. So I will give honor to you and thank you very much for lending your voice to the show.
Oh, it's nice hearing
all
you.
All the very best for you.
And to you, take
care. The reason
care.
I say
God
so,
bless.
Ren, is because he stays up until 2 o'clock in the morning to listen to us. He only takes a doctor to do
wow.
that kind of thing.
No, well,
so,
I'm trying to learn about
wow.
cricket. I thought cricket was just hitting a ball. But I'm learning so much. So thank you all very much. And it's nice talking to you.
Yes. You've chosen the right platform to learn about cricket. These guys know everything about cricket, even how to spell it.
I know. I was just telling my husband, when I was a kid, we used to hit the ball and we'd run until they find it. But it's
well,
good,
well.
Yes.
I'm sure you're familiar with... You're also familiar with Dennis, too. He's all the way in California. He's 3 hours... Is it behind us? Yes.
Oh, Dennis is in California. I thought Dennis was in England. Where's Dennis now?
California. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I was in England.
Oh, you're my greatest, sir?
I've always been.
California?
I've been in California,
oh,
but maybe the last time. I had to visit London recently, so maybe that's what you remember. But
I think I'm confusing you with Simon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Simon. That's
no,
right. Simon
is
in London.
He's not
now.
With us this week. He's in London, England, or somewhere in the UK.
Very good to hear you, Dennis. I'm always very intrigued and inspired by your comments on the show. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed.
All right, thank you. But I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're a betting man. I wondered how St. Kitts and Nevis will do in the next round of the CONCACAF.
Well, I can tell you one thing.
Yes.
St. Kitts Nevis will have every citizen of St. Kitts Nevis supporting them. So they have to have no choice but to do well.
And so we need to tell the fans when the next game is. Are you aware of when the next game is due?
No, I am not. I'll have to put you on to Ivor, who will contact my... the sportscaster for 2020 Vision. I'm not a sportscaster. I just try to follow along.
All right. Well,
okay.
Congratulations.
I'm just one of the humble. I'm just one of the humble persons that try to keep up with everything that's going on.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ren. Thank you so much, Ren. I appreciate you. Go ahead.
I just want to let Dennis know that when is the big Hepa 2 of 2020 Vision Radio. He's very humble, Dennis.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, a pleasure seeing them live and in concert, and they were awesome.
The Doe Brothers.
Yes, indeed.
Everybody has a part to play, so, you know, it's very
yes.
humble. You can tell anybody, you know. Well, thank you all very much. You're very kind.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so that was Ren from Vision 2020, and they have been featured here so many times on our show. I'm just going to pull up one of their songs just to tell you, give you a bit of what they do, and they have been doing it from the onset with us. Oh, yeah, I can't get up. So Dennis, I'm sure you've heard their songs here all the time. And okay. They call them Dua Brothers. Just a bit to them.
Yes.
What this dying world could use is a willing man of God who dares to go against the grain and work without applause. A man who'll raise the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle. A man whose word is sure.
God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who'll face eternity and not afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
Yes, Jesus needs a few good men. And we are so happy to siphon them out of this section. Yes, indeed.
God bless you, good man like you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
To come in, he just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who'll face eternity and not afraid to die. Men who'll fight for freedom.
Oh, we gotta
and honor once again.
We gotta stop the press.
He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion.
We are with us, Brother Linford McKenzie. Come on in, Brother Linford. Mr. McKenzie, you're on.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. And
good afternoon.
Happy Father's Day
happy
to all
Father's
those
Day
good gentlemen
you.
Out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate you being with us today, being able to join you guys at this time. I want to say one thing about that first test match in England. I think the first day's play was very enterprising. You rarely see a team declare on the first day of a test match. And I think that was a very good declaration. And I hope they can push the advantage home.
Rub it in.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, man. We had a lengthy discussion, and somebody, one or two people here will be quite happy for your confirmation that the decision had merit.
Yes, thank you, brother. Brother, yes. McKenzie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I couldn't end this without you. Okay, folks, let us siphon back right into the meat of things. We are going to go right into the West Indies. West Indies versus
United States.
United States. Who are you shouting for?
Pathetic.
No.
Who are you referring
why
to?
Why do you say that?
No,
McKenzie,
man.
No, man.
West Indies, number one in the world a couple
Once
years ago. And look
Once
where we are now.
Once upon a time.
Ah, yeah. But, Mackenzie, you say pathetic. I mean, I accept that they're not exactly number one right now, but what is pathetic?
We were number one in the world not too long ago. And
yes.
No. 20 years ago?
1994? The United States to qualify? Hey, man.
But did...
Wait, when you say a couple of years ago, are you counting
you mean 20 years.
In 30s?
Virgil, no.
I think when I was number one, you know, I was still breastfeeding.
Virgil.
Okay.
All right. Leon, let me start with the team selection because, you know.
Yes. Did you see the team I posted?
Yes. Yes, I did. And
I had one wrong. I would not have played Hussein. Go ahead.
You would not have played who?
Hussein.
Yes, well, yes. He was one who I would not have included. Yes, he had 10 overs. I think it was Hussein had 10 overs for 38 runs, which is an average of 3.8. So on the face of it, he, you know, showed that he probably... you know, deserved a place.
Yeah, economical.
You know, yeah. The one thing I have to take and eat some humble pie because the one player that I would normally have left out turned out to be the man of the match.
Jason Holder.
he who shall be named.
Mr. Holder.
Yes.
Turned out to be man of the match. He had a good knock and, you know, the respectful one wicket. But, you know, surprising how this game can humble a player. King, you know, our King, who has been a run scorer per excellence, suddenly come to this match and was out in seven balls. So the American players were obviously feeling well and truly on top of their
game. That's true. They had their tails up.
They indeed, and of course Carl Mayers ended up basically the same thing, 15 balls. So in no time at all, we West Indies were 14 for 2 wickets.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to now look at Johnson Charles. What a magnificent knock. And Skipper Shai Hope, what a season he's having. 54 to Hope and 66 to Charles. And I also have to take my hat off to Nicholas Poran to see how much his cricket has improved in this past year since he gave up the captaincy. His cricket has not looked back because his performance has been excellent. And Ruston Chase, again, one of the players I might have considered superfluous, turned out again. I owe him an apology because he came through with flying colors to score 55 and held the West Indies innings intact for the 297 runs. So all told, they did very well in terms of what they had. Now they need to take it up a notch when they come against their second match in a couple of days' time. That's my quick comment there, Leon. Back to you. Leon? Okay. Are you with me, Leon?
Okay, let somebody have a radio in the background.
Yeah, that must be Mackenzie. All right.
Yeah, we have to give it to the West Indies. But at the same time, I don't like the idea that West Indies were being bowled out.
Yes.
I was in a win-win situation because I'm supporting the USA as well, not against the West Indies, but I would hope that the two teams to go through would be West Indies and the USA. But they're in the same zone, though, so it's going to be difficult.
Unless they...
Yeah, but West Indies have to be mindful of net run weight as well because
yes,
just winning is not going to get
you. You heard my, you see my article. Same thing I said.
article? No, I haven't seen it, but at least I know you'll be up on that as well. They have to be mindful. They got bowled out, and they kind of bowled out the team. Yes, they win, win, and still end up not qualifying. I don't know if they bat in the... Look at it. It seemed to be top-heavy because with Rosman Powell, who just came off of a warm-up century, he's batting even after Chase. He's batting what? Number seven.
Yeah.
So we have to look
seven,
at
yes.
With the
he's batting seven.
He's batting number seven. So I don't know if they're just using him as a finisher. I know 50 overs is a lot of overs. But I don't like the idea with Alzar with Joseph.
Not opening the bowling?
The new ball. I don't understand
exactly.
That.
Exactly. I'm
poor. Come up to the nonsense. He became the number four bowler, I think, in the lineup. That doesn't bode well with me. It doesn't bode well. And something is wrong. Never mind it's the USA team. You have got to line them up in a row, and this is what you have. I'm not changing my opening batsmen. I'm not changing my bowlers. They hunting peers. So get accustomed to that. I don't know. I thought they rectified that the other day because they were doing that with Aldo Joseph in his early on in his career. Then people started to say, oh, he hasn't taken a fight for. He gets only one or two wickets. Now you gave him a chance to be the speedster, and now you're gone back. So I don't know if I should point to Sheho or the new coach.
I have a question for you. Do you think that they actually held Joseph back as the finisher, recognizing that towards the end of the 50 overs, the United States batter would probably be on top a little bit, and they figured that Joseph, with his experience and speed, should be able to come in there and clean things up.
The answer is no.
Joseph ends up being the most expensive bowler, going for over six and over. He's too good a bowler to be coming into cleanup. He's no finisher.
No.
He bowls up in the power play. You want your best bowlers to bowl up in the power play when only too many can be outside of the 30-yard circle for the first 10. And he can beat them with speed when that ball is hard and new. Then he can always come back in the depth to bowl Yorkers. So finishing with 10 overs does not mean you have to bowl when the horses are already bolted. No, that's not a good plan.
Well, okay.
Take
your point.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that completely. I agree. To be honest, I would have gone with Shepherd ahead of Fall, but they must have seen something I don't see, because Shepherd is a man that is, he came back and make some good runs the other day too, and he has been in the limelight to get wickets. And he
For I think Holder is the man who's supposed to be the finisher. Like we used to have Bravo with his experience. Holder, not up front for Holder. We need some wickets up front. Holder is a holding kind of a bowler, a defensive kind of a bowler. We can't have Holder attacking up front and then using Alzar with Joseph when people are swinging their bats, top edge in here and top edge in there.
And with the pace
and
done.
What
do you think of Carty instead of Ozane?
No,
Carty is a batsman.
We are already top heavy with batsmen with Rosman Powell batting at number seven. We can't have Carty in here unless one of the batters up front are failing. He has to replace one of the batsmen. The opening batsman Johnson Charles, and I don't see Johnson Charles moving. I don't see Puan moving. The captain is not going to move. Chase is not going to move. So
actually,
I misspoke.
Actually, I meant Kariah. instead of Hossein. That's
okay.
I would even be there
because he was taking wickets.
That's what I meant. Karaya instead of Hossein.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hossein was in a holding pattern. He bowled for under four and over, and that is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And he bowled his full 10 overs. As a matter of fact, he's only two of them bowled 10 overs, Al-Zawi, Joseph, and himself.
No, Ross and Chase as well. But given the performance of Karaya in the warm-up matches and in the UAE, it appears to me that he is perhaps effective because he's bowling leg break. Hossein is not really a leg break bowler, is he? I think that might have been more challenging for the American batters to face Karaya.
Hossein is slow left arm. He has more control.
He used to bowl up front. He used to open the bowling sometimes too. I don't know. They have not been doing that anymore.
But back into the batting lineup though, because I don't want to throw away Carty, because in the 50-over format, I think that Carty have a good chance getting in ahead of Powell. And I believe that's why Powell was not named captain for the 50 overs, because he's not a surety to make the 50 over. The 20 overs, yes. So we might find that Carty might get a chance once they continue into the World Cup and qualify. They need to keep Carty, because Chase is not going to always come through. And Carty can be the holding man there instead of Wagner Powell. So I think that's where Carty going to hold strain to get in there.
What do you think of the West Indies chance against Nepal?
Oh, that's a showing, but they need to win big. This winning and getting there, they need to get in the books and realize that they just need to win big. Just don't win. Mm. That might be a mistake that they're making.
Yes, because, of course, only two goes through here. With Zimbabwe in what looked like good form, West Indies definitely have to be on their P's and Q's, so to speak.
Yes.
All right. The young Gajanan Singh for USA batted very well. In fact, without his, I think, West Indies could well have not missed down, but he came in the middle when USA was on the racks, and he held things pretty much. 101, he scored in 109 balls with Cheyenne Jahangir. So we can see that, the USA has not an unreasonable possibility of getting maybe two or three wins in this thing if they can just apply themselves.
Yeah, Gajanan Singh, he's been around. He plays in the US Open yearly in December.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's no stranger.
And the opener there, your friend?
Stephen Taylor, he needs to come through as well. I mean, he got some wickets. He was in the wicket column. I think he got two wickets. But only had 89. He has to do better than that.
Stephen Taylor. That's 3-4-53.
Of the USA.
Yeah, 3-4-53. And he had them struggling. West Indies, I thought that letter for the end there. They are only 0.07 points in the net run rate behind Zimbabwe. I just sit here waiting.
There's not much behind it, it's 0.78 Zimbabwe, 0.78, so it's pretty close, it's not so far apart.
But I mean to say, in case this comes down to point,
net run rate. West Indies had this match. They scored too many runs in the end of the innings. As if West Indies thought it was a foregone conclusion. And that's what happened. They let off too many runs. But to be beaten by 39, they should have been beaten by 80 to 90 runs. That's what I said.
Well,
but they let
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, gentlemen,
but something went wrong, you know, with Chase bowling our last over and all kind of stuff. Gentlemen, we win, but the match not.
It wasn't convincing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not adding up. We don't need for Chase to be our finisher down there. Chase is the one bowling your very last over. I mean, I don't know.
But
so hopefully, guys,
something,
they have to go to the board to get
something
things right.
To remember here is that the top three in each of these two groups will go through. So at this point, I know you say win is important, but I don't know that it is that critical at this stage. But in the Super
yes.
Six group,
yes,
you know, it's going to be critical because right now the first round here that we're going through, it's the top three in each group. So the West Indies could be assured, dare I put that in quotes, assured of going through to the next round. But in the next round is where they have to ensure that their finishing is absolutely beyond reproach. As Ivor is saying, we cannot rely on net rate. We have to bowl guys out.
Everyone knows their duty. You know what you have to do.
Yeah.
So start doing it now. This is no time to be guessing nothing now. This is not no warm-up matches now. This is the real thing now.
I didn't really know
that they settled with Paul. They were settled with Paul to open the new ball. That is, they settled with Paul from nowhere. Even Shepherd was bowling better than Paul, but I don't know. I'm batting better than him too. So
we're
Shepherd
getting there, but just want that to be our opening thing. At least they moved from Myers because they were opening the bowling with Myers the other day, but now they're making first change, but using Holder, but pushing Al-Zawi Joseph down the ladder.
Back
I don't like that.
In the bench. No, it's not a proper thing.
You need your attack bowler when you know only two men outside the circle, so you can afford your slips. Give Al-Zawi Joseph those slips. Who can use them up? All I use, you know, no slips and gully and stuff with the men inside the circle.
I agree with putting in Al-Zawi right up top. We have to be more dominant in this tournament. We have to take over, man. I don't think of playing dominant cricket. When you see the United States bowl out West Indies, that's we should put those guys aside with about five wickets at most.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be more dominant. We have to come out stronger.
And, you know, they are watching, the other teams are watching us, you know, to see where our weaknesses are. We're supposed to dominate these teams. Dominate them.
Yeah, Liam, what he just said there, Mr. McKenzie, he opened a mouthful and he has sent against us and pulled us out. That's not a good sign. That is not a good sign.
You leave three balls out there, man.
Plus, Liam, one more thing, Liam. Plus, we did not bowl out the other team.
Yeah.
We had three strikes against us. We didn't bowl them out. A guy
couldn't break the 8-wicket partnership.
And we lost all of our 10 wickets.
Yeah. Not a good sign at all, no. Not a good sign.
No.
This will determine, we'll see how they react to it, because, and I don't know what is happening to Mayers as a batsman. He seems not to have been able to, they have found out his weakness.
No, I think he's just tired from the IPL, Leon.
You're going to wake up Virgil, though.
Isn't that their problem? it's not the USA problem. It's our problem.
But yes, you asked what's the matter with him, and I'm telling you what the matter is.
But Dennis, he was being arrested.
But that's not enough from the IPL. It's only a week ago, you know.
Well, in the IPL, you have to play every day.
Yes, that's right.
Leon, don't fool yourself. Those guys have to be in the park working out.
Yes.
Especially those net bowlers and stuff. They have to be there working. So not because you don't see them and they're playing every day. They are out there. That's their job. They have to go and play.
No, but after the IPL finishes, Ivor, they were not picked by the West Indies to play any match. They were resting.
No, it's still not enough time. It's not enough time.
All right. Well, yet you put Holder up there, right? He put Holder to hold fast.
But Holder didn't do all that much.
He was there, though. He may not have been on the field, but he was in the practice sessions.
But Mayers actually played more games and was required to do more. So I still say Mayers might have been a little overworked and tired, more so than Holder.
That's what the teams and say, are hoping that all of them could be tired. So it's not their problem that they want to win this thing. These teams are serious contenders. We cannot take anybody for granted. No one should be taken for granted. Those key teams are putting a lot of preparation into their teams to make sure they do well. Those teams are serious contenders, and they have the money to do it too, especially those Middle East teams.
We are into the Lawrence Yago.
Yes, indeed. So let's give honor to that. Lawrence Rowe and Walter Henry. Yeah, well, we just finished that and we're into the Lawrence Yago. Oh. Mr. McKenzie?
Yes, I just think that all the teams in this series there is trying to humiliate the West Indies. And I think the West Indies need to be more forceful and be more productive. We shouldn't be losing more than 5 wickets in never. You know, we have to be more superior, and we have to show in this.
Can somebody tell me, Mr. McKenzie?
We're not going to go very far.
How many centuries is score on tour? How many centuries is score?
What's the question?
How many centuries have we scored on the tour?
You mean the West Indies?
West Indies.
Oh, I know we scored at least 3 because King scored 1 in the warm-up matches.
Powell scored 1.
Powell, right. So we scored at least 3 that I can recall. But what about Donnelly? And does she have anything to throw in on the West Indies? Donna?
Yes. Let's bring it down on
it. Okay, so my take was when I watched the game today, I say, just like you other guys would have said, West Indies should have beaten USA by a much wider, bigger margin.
Yes.
That was too close to comfort for me.
I agree.
Yes, they should have showed their dominance a little bit better for me. I really didn't see them when they bat because I was here watching the England and things. So after that went out, I went over to that game. So I didn't see them when they bat. I just saw Anulam and make a century on you. That's another thing. It seemed like they couldn't. That last wicket partnership, they had 70-something runs.
Yeah.
That's a good
one. Unbroken.
How you could allow that to happen in your first game against USA. To me, they should have showed, they should have beat them by a bigger margin.
Exactly.
That wasn't good enough for me.
Definitely.
So if USA gives them such a run for their money, what are the other teams going to do?
Well, Donna, you ask a pertinent question,
okay.
Because
but before you beat upon Donna, let Donna put a backup. Donna, you went and you look at test cricket over the white ball cricket. So I'm easily blown because then this is coming
on. Yes, because I wanted to know what is going to become of that declaration to see if it made sense. That's why I was watching. Would
that
Australia make the run?
Cricket is the test. That's why you have to look.
Would England sustain them beyond? Yes.
Test cricket. You see? You see why test cricket is the ultimate now? It's a pendulum.
Exactly. You can play every aspect of the three formats. Yes.
I was giving Donna a kudos, not challenging her. She's made a very astute observation. Because the West Indies will
your viewpoint, Dennis? Is it that your
cricket is here to stay? Then it's already said that. I'm going to say what did they say? Wasn't buying. But go ahead, Dennis. I want to hear Dennis.
I'd say Donna made a very astute point, because the West Indies will play Nepal next, and Nepal scored 290 against Zimbabwe. So that means they have players who can hit the ball, and Zimbabwe is no slouch when you think about it. So the West Indies will definitely have to be on their A game.
They definitely have to come better than that.
Yeah. Yep, I am right there in your corner, Donna.
Yeah, they should have been beaten by 100 or more.
Come better than that. Yeah.
And you had them, and let them off. Like if they eased up.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to say anything on the West Indies? How about the other match, Zimbabwe versus Nepal?
Is that much as we are saying? Well, you own the West Indies.
you have that scorecard there, Dennis, for Nepal?
Yes, for Nepal, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay,
Nepal,
I have it here.
Nepal batted first and scored 290 for 8, with Bertel getting 99, unfortunately one away, and Sheikh 66, Mala 41, Ordell 31. So those top four players carried the bulk of the innings, because when they were out, when they were gone, the bottom six basically scored 20 runs between them. But 290 for 8 was what they scored, which means that they are batters who are quite capable up front, unless the West Indies are able to make a quick strike. And against these guys, they could well be humbled in some respects. So as Donna said, they need to bring their A game, because Nepal will not be a walkover. Back to you, Leon.
Yeah, they had 271 for 5. They had 271 for 5 at one stage, and then they end up making 290 for 8. 290 for 8. So
Don't the partnership of 170 something. Let me look
that
it up.
That is crucial.
That's what we.
171 for one.
Takers, mm-hmm. Exactly. 171. Your wicket takers, the Alzaujos, them have to come up there to break people's edge off with your slip catchers taking them, and your keeper. You cannot let the horse out the barn. Just have all the people out there on the 30-yard circle, because they say you cannot go beyond the 30-yard circle.
Mm-hmm.
By the time Aldawi Josie come in, a man already set, gone top mm-hmm. edge for 6 and ball flying off the thing. You don't want that. You must have some speeches up on there. When you know you have to have your leg gullies and your gullies, two gullies,
two gullies and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. You need bowlers who are going to do that. Not somebody who's going to just run up and bowl and they tap the ball to gully when a single, tap the ball out to extra cover when a single, get it between the gap there and run. Because these guys are running now. That's one of the beauty of this white ball cricket in 50 overs. You have to be able to run between the sticks. It's not bang, bang, 4-6, 4-6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, another point to note here is that the Zimbabwe lost only 2 wickets. They had two players who scored
centuries
in this match. Yeah. So, again, West Indies definitely have to, as you say, be aggressive. They have to be aggressive. Back to you, Leon.
Yeah, the opening pair, I don't know, something is not really, really striking me to be perfect up front. If you open with this, we're going to... how many you saw the dismissal for Mayors? That looked so awful. Clean up middle stump. Clean up. Not even to get LBW. Just... terrible, but anyway, I hope this is just a wake-up call, because we cannot win it.
It is a wake-up call, Leon.
Yeah. I said, I hope. They may not think so. They'll win the game. They may think, we win. A win is a win. But there's a lot of lessons they can learn from this win. I don't know. Sammy has got to give them the right. I can tell them what happened. What happened to you guys? You nearly blew it. So let's hope that...
You see how Zimbabwe won? They won within, 45 overs?
With eight wickets to spare, man. That's it. 8 wickets victory. And they're home now, their tails are up.
I know we're gone past Christine, but you went back to Italy. And I'm keeping an eye on Hope speeches, Yeah. Listen to some of the things that Hope is saying there, I don't want to really comment on it now, but I'm not too sure that...
I didn't hear what you said.
Leon, excuse me interrupting. I can't. We've got some technical problem with Virgil. Can you bring him in again, please?
Okay, let me try again.
All right. I'm sorry, Alba.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Speaking about people who are getting chances, who are getting stopped, and not converting. To me, that is so elementary. So the batters have to take pride in themselves. People, when you're batting, do not look for who is behind. Once you're in, you're in. I don't think this is time for the press conference for him to become up saying this. These are things for the dressing room and things for people to understand. You can't get your stars and don't convert. And then that's all we're hearing at the end of press conferences and stuff. To me, those are elementary.
You know, one thing which is notable in the Nepal bowling, we've heard a great deal about Lamishane, and yet he came on and he was not very effective in this particular match. He had 10 overs for 77 runs. That seems to me an awfully high average there for a bowler of his repute. Mind you, it could be the wicket, just wasn't taking spin. But, he is a bowler that is quite capable of going through any team. So West Indies will have to be definitely, and we can't handle this anymore. They have to be on the A game, because it's not going to be a piece of cakewalk again. I think, Leon.
Yeah. Which are you still hearing me?
Yes, we are hearing you.
Welcome to our voicemail system. You have reached the mailbox of 51152. At the tone, please record your message.
When you
have finished recording.
That's first, isn't it?
Yeah, he just called me. He's waiting for your call, Leon.
Okay. Let me get him on.
If you are
put a check mark.
I put on the check mark, but I don't know what's...
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead, guys.
Right over here. Yeah, what we're saying, hope is confusing me. He's saying the both of them should, once they get a start, they should go ahead. And then in the same, but he's saying it's about putting runs on the board. So then again, it doesn't matter if you get a century. So which one? If everybody going to make 60 and make 200 runs, that's fine. I agree with that. But don't come and tell me that you're telling the folks if you get a start, continue. Which one you need? You need the runs on the board, or it doesn't matter if you get a start and you don't continue. Which one you need? Okay.
Well, it looks like...
I see we have Virgil back.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I don't know what happened. Somebody called in and I tried to get rid of them, and then he put this call on hold. I don't understand why.
Okay. I think Donna got dropped to Dennis.
Yes. All right.
But no, you know what happened? Every time, let me go, it's clear. Every time when Dennis said about test match, and then Ivor said he wanted to hear it again, it seemed like my line does get shut off. And it happened twice. So... Mm-hmm. I'm saying that to say when Ivor wants Dennis to say test match is here to stay, my line get cut off. So I think Dennis don't want me to say nothing. I'm just joking.
we have Donna back, right? Are we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Donna's back. So. And yes. All right. So. Any comments from you, Donna? Oh, did you hear?
I missed that little bit.
What was it?
I dropped out, so I missed a little bit. Yeah.
Donna doesn't know what the subject is right now. So
yeah, okay.
Need to tell her.
I too was dropped out.
I was talking about. I expect our captain to talk about us.
Oh, yes.
You
yes,
come
down
this either Gajinan batting well and all that kind of stuff. Tell me ways how we're going to get this man out, and we couldn't get the last wicket partnership broken and all this kind of stuff there. Tell me we're going back to the drawing board. That's why I like to hear, I said already, Lau was a good speaker, and he can address what happened in the game. Even Holder used to do that well, Sammy. I need people to understand what's happening in the game, to show me leadership, because anybody can captain a game, because that's what the law says. A team is played between 11 players, one of whom shall be named captain. I need leaders, and hope have to show me some leadership quality, especially when he go up to that podium. I used to be fighting when Shander Paul used to be up to the podium, to tell you the truth. I believe he knows his game, but sometimes it's what you're saying and how we come out. We are wondering if we know where we are going. I don't want Hope to fall into that category.
I see you have two big problems. I see him has two big problems. The opening position, I don't know, they're not motivated enough. Their role is to at least to hit that new ball or white ball early and get us a good start. And if one guy gets in, he must make sure he carry the team. Nobody's making centuries. They're just making 60 and 50. And you have to know who is going to break that partnership in case you have one. You just relax it to me. They're like the ease of the pressure. And let these tail-enders, but they're not really tail-enders, go and just do what they like. And not only being a wicket, but playing, scoring in excess of one and a run a ball. So they expect 600 runs. I mean, six per over, get 300 runs if they continue in a way. They got to address that. I hope Sammy sees it.
Okay. Then I just pull this thing up. Let me read. Tell me this is something that a captain should be saying about an opening player. This is, I'm quoting Hope here. He said, on Gajinan, I think he played, I think he played well, though I thought he should have pushed on a little bit more. I mean, this is the opponent he's saying. He's saying the guy played well, but he thought he should have pushed on a little bit more.
And you're talking about our player?
You know, he's talking about the batsman over there. He's not talking about our player. Like,
wait,
well, Nick King should have stayed in and pushed.
Who's?
He said Gardiner, USA, played well, but he should have pushed on a little bit more.
Oh,
no, you give your no. credit and say, at the podium, I credit my bowlers for cramping Gardiner, that he was not able to push. But he's blessed. He's saying the guy should be able to push on more. Man, give your bowlers credit. Put that confidence in your ball that you cripple a guy who made century and he made.
It doesn't make any sense
on his idea. And people have to understand when you're captain and you're leading your team, you have to show a praise where it is due. Your bowler's got a little thing to for him. Will you tell me he should push out a little further? We give your bowlers the credit. I don't know if Virgil has something to say about that. He didn't credit his bowlers for cramping. He blamed me.
Sometimes when you have a player and they go in front of the mic, it's a different proposition also.
That's why you said anybody, but you have to lead. I wouldn't feel good as a bowler if I'm hearing my captain up there saying, he blaming the
batsman.
As opposed to giving me the credit for not allowing him.
You praise somebody when they beat you.
Praise your bowlers for cramping his time.
Yes.
He made 100, but he made it slow. He didn't make it in a strike rate of 200, you know? He's saying it was his fault. Give your bowlers the credit. That's what leaders do.
He's learning on the job.
Yeah, but if you play that long,
and you go on the qualifiers, we have to have somebody who can do the job. And when you get in front of the mic for people to go, they're looking at these things. If Dummy can see these things, what do you think the world has seen? Some of them supposed to see these things and tell him. When you go to your boots to bowlers, man, said this bowled very well today. Look how we had a man in form, made 100. But we crippled him, and he did it slowly, that he didn't get his team over the end. That's what you want to hear from your leader. He didn't do that at the press conference.
Agreed. You know, Leon, I have one point to bring up. I'm going back to the test series. I'm not sure if you're aware that the formula used to calculate the champion, the top two who plays in the final, will be changed as of this year. So
in this next cycle?
This next cycle will be the test
2025
final championship will depend now on your ranking in the table rather than how many points you've earned in a certain series.
Okay.
So that could
that's significant.
Yeah, that might allow the West Indies a little bit more leeway in that World Test Championship series for the next cycle, which is about 2 years from now, I think. But, you know, I digress. I just simply wanted to
With all due respect to West Indies, do you think West Indies is going to be up in the top tier?
Because it's going to be based on your ranking, I think that they have a better chance of getting in the mix. Rather than how many points you've earned. So we will see. We will see.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a new coach, and everyone tells me that he's got the mojo working. So I expect that they will be finishing higher than ninth this year in this next test cycle. So back to you, Leon.
But this is not talking for the World Test Championship. You're talking about qualification for the ICC. Yes. Okay, I see your point.
No. We're talking about the World Test Championship qualifications.
Who qualifies for the championship? Are you in the top two?
Well, last year, but I don't know what it's changing. They're changing the rules for this cycle, and it's going to be based on, you know, where their ranking is. Now, I'm not sure that the final games will be the top two. It may well be that they will have some kind of a knockout based on your ranking to see which of the teams will actually contest the final.
I hope so.
Dennis, which part of that you're saying West Indies might have a slight chance? Explain to me which part of that West Indies might have a slight chance.
Well, what I'm saying, Virgil, if it's based on ranking, it may well mean that they will probably have some kind of a playoff between the ranks in order to advance the top two, as opposed to right now, it was based on points and the top two with points were the ones who contested the final. This time around, because it's ranking, I suspect that what will happen, the ranks will play to advance themselves to, in a kind of a knockout round. That's what I believe will happen.
Dennis. Do you really foresee West Indies in the top four?
I'm not saying that. They're not necessarily
It's not impossible, but it's not likely to me right now, I believe, to be honest.
Oh, come on, you've got Sammy at the head, not Sammy, Coley at the head. So what, I mean, don't you have faith in him? That's why
he was elected. For 20 years they have faith and they haven't moved on.
No, we're in a new era now, Leon. Coley's at the head and he's the miracle man.
Does he play on the field?
He's the coach.
Hey, no, the coach is behind the boundary, you know. The coach is behind the boundary.
He's the miracle man. That's why they put him there.
He's beyond the boundary. If you put him in 30 yards, maybe that will help.
Leon, I want to give you a pass, Leon, because I know you made a mistake there. You say you had faith for 20 years. I thought you had Eunice, but it's okay.
Well, she too.
Oh, you have two. Okay. But I know you are talking to this ticket, but I'm appalled with the same thing with Hope, because I know you all don't like Holder. But you see, you listen to Holder at the press conference today, and Holder said exactly what he's saying here today. You have to have a process. And Hope would have heard him talk before he talked. The process. You open the batsman, you open the bowler, and you have to stick to it. Holder said that today. You all remember? I'm sure you heard him when he said that.
I didn't hear him, so that's why
Let us then come on to ratify what they're saying, because we lead them on Sunday here. So those who come on, judge on the others, and they mason them, they're going to hear us first. Listen to the captain from the USA. You hear what he said? The guy batted well. But the other folks did not support and come up to standard. That's what we're supposed to say.
Oh,
we crippled him, and we didn't allow the other batters to really come on and support him and move on. Those are the kind of things that you say. The USA captain got it. And remember what he said again today? He said they were not under any pressure. His words, he showed his face in West Indies thing. He said it on his press conference. He said we were not under any pressure. Imagine that. He lose a match and said they were not under any pressure. What do you think the other teams are thinking when they come up to West Indies? Yes, you have to use the words carefully. He said it. So all them have to, they have some work to do with that captainship. You have to put people under pressure for the ones. Let them shake in the boat. Let Azaru Judge have them getting small, backing up to the square leg umpire. The man said in his press conference, we were not under any pressure. I'm quoting him, his exact words that he said. So I'm not taking the win. Everybody always thinks his win, they win USA. It's how you win, how you do it.
How exactly. And they had even a chance that could knock them out and let them just get away.
Mr. McKenzie used the big word today. You have to dominate.
Big.
You have to do it. We did not do that.
Let's say if you come back, he had a little conference a while ago. Mr. McKenzie, you have anything else to say?
Yes. I just want to see how we
come out of this section of the tournament. And if we don't come out as number one and come out very strongly, we are going to be in serious trouble if we qualify for the other side of the tournament. We have to do a lot of work, you see? So I'm just watching to see how we perform at this point, which to me at this point isn't very good at all. We have to be more dominant, and we have to make more runs and lose less wickets. We're losing too many wickets playing these little guys down there. So we have to really improve in our performance.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Leanne, I just found it in quick info. I'm going to quote.
Mm-hmm.
On facing West Indies, we were pretty confident there was not a lot of pressure, just a few mistakes, and we have to make sure we apply ourselves in the next. This is what a captain saying against West Indies, losing a match.
He winning.
And then hopes for after him, I'm praising Gadinan. He fought before
I
Hope,
guess,
and when Hope was like, come on, Hope, just dig this in after he don't speak, and let him know that they were pressed somewhere, because he said it before you. The man tried in our face then in the press conference. You had the last talk, and you talked to him. Show me some leadership, man.
Mm-hmm. That was bad.
I said, you're learning on the job.
No. Well, let me finish the deal, Leonard. With me, I want to win and to show even my good friend Darryl Sammy, we did not need the Russell and we did not need the Narines and everything, and we can dominate with what we have here. Right now, what Hope is telling me, boy, we needed these guys. If it's a ball, Leon say it all the time, it's a ball over the 65-yard boundary. If you hit it way past 120 yards, it's still six.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can come with the big six and hold of them and whoever, I mean, the whomever you want to bring back from the dead, it's still six. So I don't want them to come back. They work for them. So dominate with what you have. Don't show me that you're missing them. It sounds like that's what Hope's speech was to me today.
Okay. That might be.
When you hit on 65 95 meter, it's still six. What, we don't get extra point for that?
no, Virgil.
No, we had to get extra point for that. Man.
You might get another used ball.
No,
we used ball.
Them guys was going at that to get we get extra points if you go 112 meter or something like that, man. I mean, your ranking goes up.
No.
No.
Maybe I'm not onto anything, you know, but I look at these little things. I like Sammy. And if the Hope wants to be in Sammy's corner and want to show that I'm missing something, I'm missing the whistles or whatever, so you're going to talk like this, I'm not buying that because I don't think we need the whistles.
We don't need them. We don't need them.
We don't.
No.
So Hope,
no.
Don't give me that kind of little sideway there where we have to begin to think. I wonder if we need this or we need that. No, we're going to work with what we have there and boost you guys, lead from that front. And I hope Sammy is satisfied with what he ended up with, even though he didn't get what he wanted. I think he's an astute leader. So I think he would just go along with what he have and want to win. Sammy has enough pride that he wants to win. The man on the field, like Virgil just said, is Hope. Sammy is beyond the boundary Hope. So I'm going to work with him and let him instill confidence in his players to tell them, we don't have to look for no Russell. We don't have to look for no Narine and nobody else. We don't have to bring back Pollard. Even though we hear Pollard is going to captain a team in the USA, oh, he has not really done. I don't want that. Show the guys them here.
No game playing nowhere in the world, right?
Yes.
No,
yeah, we're going to talk about Afghanistan.
Yeah, we want these guys, what, because no game playing, what happened when the game starts? You think they're going to say we want them? They're gone again. So you can't do that.
Just leave them alone. Bangladesh versus Afghanistan, folks. Bangladesh 382 and 425 for 4. Afghanistan 146 and 115. Bangladesh winning there by 546 runs. What happened there, folks? Is the points eligible for the new cycle?
No, I think that was the end. The new cycle
that was
begins
the end of, okay.
I think that was a wrap up. The new cycle starts. The Ashes series now.
And this begins the new cycle.
Beginning of the series. And when India arrives in the Caribbean, it will be the start of their cycle. And by the way, Virgil, are you aware that India will be playing two matches against the West Indies in your neck of the woods when they come up here in August?
13th, August. August 13th, 12th and
13th? Something like that, yes. I was just wondering if Virgil was aware of it.
I send it to you, Virgil. I send the itinerary. I'll show you that.
Virgil is quiet.
Virgil, you're quiet.
I didn't hear that.
West Indies play two matches in your neck of the woods.
West Indies and India.
India will be playing.
Oh, you mean in August?
August, yes.
Yeah, them guys don't want me to go, man. Because I go in there, I can't even walk in my two flag, and I just kind of disappointed. Believe you. I mean, if I can't go in there and have my flag with my helmet and all kind of stuff, man, you know, make no sense if I go to the game, man.
I really would like to go,
but it just...
Virgil, explain. What are you saying?
He carries my flag.
Okay, I have my flag. Anywhere I go, I walk with my flag. They told me my flag can't go in because of the stick. Two stick in there. It's a weapon. Now I normally walk in with my cricket bat, the same ice green or gold cricket bat with my ball, my pad. It's certain thing you can't carry inside there. And that, I mean, weapon, people carry bat inside. And the same thing, they're selling flag, West Indies flag inside there. And in they have the flags inside there with the same stick. But I can't walk in with the one. They don't sell what I have a U.S. flag and an Antigua flag. They don't sell that inside there. But I can't take it inside there. See, you know what I did? I was so mad. I just break up the stick. And I was like, really? I don't even want to explain how I felt that day, man. It was just a shame. I went to watch the game, but I was just disappointed how you can't take this in there, you can't take that, you can't take. Like, it's just foolishness.
It's a small flag, you know. Let them know it's a little flag that's sticking.
It's not even a flag. The piece of stick on there is about 12 inches long.
Well, put it this
way.
But
then you see all the people in there with some big flag with a long stick, and I just don't understand that. But I can't take it this.
The concessionaires are allowed to sell those things inside, but you're not allowed to bring it in. It's like taking a bottle of...
They don't sell the Antigua flag.
They don't sell. The only flag they have in there, probably India flag or West Indies flag.
Well,
I walk in with was a U.S. flag and an Antigua flag. They would not carry those things inside there.
Well,
you understand?
Well, you don't have the time to buy those things, Dennis. Dennis, that's another thing they do down there. And let me say, from being in the front line too. The outside is lining up to come in. The match is going to start at 10 o'clock. And they're going to open the gate at 9:30. So by the time half the people reach inside, half still outside in a line to show tickets to come in, for them to tell you now, all of a sudden you can't come in with this hat, you can't come in with that, and you got to go run back to your car, or just don't go at all.
Let me tell you, because I was up in the front. There was a lot of people, Indians from all over, maybe the guy's hotel, maybe 5 miles away, whatever. They come in, they can't carry the snack bag with them. So where should they put their bag now when they're ready to go into the game? Because it's about half an hour before they open the game, and it's one gate they open to let everybody in, which they used to. Put if you're on bleachers, you can walk on the bleachers side, right? So you know what them people have to do? Leave all of them bag right at the table right there. And just going because they want to go watch the cricket. No, that was so shameful. You have your snap bag, you can't walk with it going. So what I said now, a woman with a purse that she threw it over her shoulder, is she have to leave her bag there too?
No.
You know, so I just don't understand. If you have security, you search the bag and then before then go inside. But you open early, you search the bag and then from head to toe before you go inside. Don't tell people that they have to leave their bag out. They can't take it inside.
Why they keep the gates closed and have this one gate coming in? Because the guys in there practicing. So you want to come in to sit and watch them practice? You're not going on the field. They just have the stadium empty while you're down there practicing, a little toss here, a little this. You don't see all that. I mean, when I say you, I get a little privilege to go in. But as I just said, this is so stupid. Everybody outside lining up outside here, and the place is empty. Then the game starts, and that's when everybody starts to walk over everybody. You're walking in front of somebody, looking for a seat. See people, the game is going on now, you know. I know you're trying to find your seat. With somebody who already seated, you're walking in front of them. So they need to just do something better, man. It's nonsense.
Well,
We hope that those who are in the administrative section, the organizing section, will take note of these comments, because obviously they are a detriment to spectators coming in, not an encouragement for spectators coming in. Back to you.
Well, the other thing here, Virgil, let me tell this one here, Virgil. When you come in here for a 3-hour game, give yourself 4 hours in case you got to come in to stand in line. For you to be paying $30 to park in a park that you don't have to pay for, and it has nothing, the parking has nothing to do with the cricket. It goes into individual pockets. Just kind of buy a gate and collect $30. It is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
That's what you have to say up there now? Oh, man.
Sorry,
that's what you pay for going into the park now? $30?
No, to park
To park your car.
To park your car?
Just your car. Just to park your car, Leon. In an open lot that costs nothing. Just an open lot, should say, go in here, and then somebody organize it and say, okay, y'all collect some money down there. They make millions down there. Don't give none of the association nothing, a dollar off of it or nothing. It makes no sense. They talk about it every time. The parking is too high. The parking is... Then people park across the street. Some of them get a car towed. Virgil is lucky enough to just walk across. He lives in the park. He's a park, right?
Okay, folks. We have to come. Every good thing must come to an end. And this show has come to an end. So we're going to ask Hyacinth to say her final words of love and good wishes to all the panelists and all our friends and well wishes around the world. I know she has to go to bed now.
Me too.
We'll pass midnight.
Well, I just want to say once again, enjoy the rest of your Father's Day.
Definitely.
Have a good
thank
week.
You.
And thanks for a very entertaining program, as usual. And hope to see you again next week. God's willing. Have a blessed
Amen.
Week.
Amen. Yeah.
Mr. McKinney,
you next Sunday.
You're next.
Thank you. I will see you on the radio. Okay.
That's all you have to say? Okay. How about you, Donna? Donna, your final words?
Yes, as usual, great discussion on the sport that I love. And I'm going to wish West Indies to step up and bring their A game to the rest of the tournament.
Okay, how about you? Virgil, you want to chime in?
Donna, is Ernie who sing that song about everybody got to step up? How you got to step up, so maybe they can play that song to West Indies team. I just want to say to all the fathers all over the world and the panelists, a happy, happy, happy Father's Day, and just wish you guys all the best, and we'll talk again next week.
All right. How about you, Ivor?
Yes, indeed. Well, I missed all day tonight. I missed that Inside Edge. Hope all is well with you, my brother. And tomorrow, gentlemen, is Juneteenth, which is indeed a federal holiday in these United States.
Yes.
And Juneteenth is to commemorate the emancipation of the enslaved African Americans. So for those who are traveling or whatever, we're going to wish you traveling mercies. But be safe. It's a federal holiday, so enjoy the day off. Great
enjoy
show.
Enjoy the day indeed. Make it a great of course. Dennis, your hand.
Yes,
your
thank
last
you.
Word,
thank you, Leon. And to those who are still here with us, remember that if you're looking for some entertainment, next Saturday, mark your calendar without any hesitation. Do it now. because the place to be on Saturday morning is the Saturday morning entertainment show at blogtalkradio.com/Caribbean Global Voice, number 1-563-999-3693. Once again, don't forget, you can go in your jammies like I do. It is well worth the entertainment. 563-999-3693.
Yes, Caribbean India. Global Voice. You dare not miss it. Yes, indeed. It was indeed a pleasure, an awesome privilege to be with you folks to help host the show. And we hope that those who had the opportunity to hear it has gotten their money's worth and more. Thanks for the help given to me by all the panelists. And we just want to wish all the fathers, and again, a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day, what is left of it. And see you on the radio next Sunday.
Yeah, one more thing, Glenn. Ahead, I forgot to mention Jason Patel. We would have missed him this evening.
Oh, yes.
So,
we send our best wishes to him as well. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Thank you. Thank you so much. He is on a mission. He was on the road and could not be here, could not be heard. So thanks, and everybody who participated.
And
awesome.
I said you didn't say the last one name, but since you didn't say it, let me say it. We missed Mr. Simon O'Brien.
Oh, yes, we send him a Father's Day great wishes as well. I hope he will hear it from afar. Yes, indeed. Thank you all so much. Good night. God bless.
Yeah.
song from Thailand won the man player of the award for
player of the month. Okay, congratulations. So we have to look out for Scotland. We have to look out for Scotland. His winning that prestigious award may just propel his team to go further in the qualifiers. Best wishes, West Indies. Come, you have much more room for improvement. Good night, all. Good night, all. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night, Leo.
Good night. And here we go.